From the bizarre world of the paranormal to the sinister secrets of the U.S. government, the Black Vault has become known worldwide as the premier spot for anything and everything conspiracy. Now, join me, John Greenwald Jr., as we dive into the research together in hopes to decipher these mysteries. This is the Black Vault Radio. Welcome, everybody. This is the Black Vault Radio. I am your host, John Greenwald Jr. Thank you so much for tuning in, logging on via theblackvault.com, or listening via 87.9 Radio Metal Storm. Thank you so much for everybody tuning in and listening to the Black Vault Radio. I'm excited about today's show because this week here on the Black Vault Radio, I'm kind of connecting both shows. Today we're talking to Mr. Stephen Bassett. You may, if you're a longtime fan of the Black Vault Radio, you may have heard Stephen on the show before. He was on a couple years ago. Great show, fascinating hour. Make sure that you tune into that if Stephen interests you, because it really, it's a very informative, it's always informative with Steve, because he is one of, if not the only, political activist that is really going out there and pushing the UFO topic with the politicians. A couple years back, Stephen ran for Congress in Maryland, got enough signatures to get his name on the ballot. If I was in Maryland, he would have my vote. He's a very smooth, charismatic talker. He is intelligent. He's interesting. I've seen many of his lectures, one of which was probably the best I have not only seen from him, but out of anybody that I have sat through. To hear, he is one of the best speakers that you can sit through, because he's got a lot to say, he's got a lot to talk about, and it's a field that a lot of people, I want to say, don't really pay attention to when it comes to politics, and that is the UFO phenomena and the importance of the disclosure movement. It's the importance of that 100% definitive acknowledgement that the UFO topic, that the UFO phenomenon is real. And that's what Steve's aim is, and that's why I want to bring him back on this episode of The Black Vault and see if he thinks if UFO disclosure is going to happen. Does he believe through his contacts, through his research, through his telephone calls and his multiple interviews nationwide, does he believe that the political arena will give some kind of acknowledgement to the UFO phenomena? Now, I want to take a second also and plug this show for Black Vault Radio coming this Thursday. I'm bringing Mr. Patrick Cook on. And Patrick Cook talks a lot about UFOs in the Bible. Now, why do I connect these shows? Well, obviously, they're about UFOs. It's the hottest topic here on the Black Vault Radio. But what I want to ask Steve about is kind of the ramifications of UFO disclosure. What's going to happen? Now, people like Steve and myself, and maybe many of you that are listening, could handle that and could handle it fine, not a problem. But my curiosity is whether or not the religious community could embrace such an acknowledgement. At least if aliens or extraterrestrials, whatever you want to call them, are actually here and communicating with some level of our civilization or some level of our government. If that is the acknowledgement, or if that's really what's going on. Patrick Cook has done a lot of research about the religious connections to the UFO phenomenon. Are there UFO references in the Bible? And I'm bringing Patrick on Thursday night. He wants to talk about this. I want to know about it. And I know that when you hear Steve Bassett talk, and when we get to the implications and the ramifications behind UFO disclosure, Thursday's show is going to be an excellent button, because Patrick's research will not only show that UFO connection that's already written in the Bible, and he says, hey, no, I don't want to take credit for this. This is there. I'm just bringing it to the forefront. Those shows are going to be married very well together and should definitely be listened to back to back. Mr. Stephen Bassett is coming up. If you are listening via theblackvault.com or are listening and you can access the internet, make sure you check out www.x-conference.com. x-conference.com. That's Steve's conference. It links to all of his different portals. Make sure you check it out while you're about to tune in to Mr. Stephen Bassett. I'll bring him on right after the break, right here on the Black Vault Radio. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. And welcome back to the Black Vault Radio. I am your host, John Greenwald Jr. I'm very excited to welcome our guest this week, Mr. Stephen Bassett. Steve, thank you so much for joining us here on the Black Vault Radio.
Great to be with you again, John.
Yes, and you know, you and I have, we were just talking off the air, haven't seen each other in many years, but have been friends for quite some time, friends and colleagues for quite some time. Please tell my listeners a little bit about who you are, what you've accomplished. You've accomplished great things since I've met you. I'm going to take a stab and say it's probably been 7 or 8 years now since you and I met. Tell me a little bit about yourself and what you do.
The short of it is that I'm a full-time political advocate and activist addressing the resolution of what was the UFO issue. I believe now it's better to call it a exopolitical issue. And that resolution cannot begin to truly take place until the government finally acknowledges that there's an extraterrestrial presence, which there certainly is. It's a big deal. The government has maintained what I call a truth embargo for nearly 60 years now. Well, actually, 60 years, and they're not quite ready to do it. You can imagine the implications of it, so it's kind of a big deal. There are a number of groups now that are focusing on this in various ways, and there's a substantial degree of public awareness. So I'm a political advocate for an issue, just like countless others for countless other issues. I began in 96. I created the Paradigm Research Group. I immediately registered as a lobbyist for the issue and for a number of groups. First person to do that, still the only person to be registered for that. Unless someone registered under that issue for the Coalition for Freedom of Information, which I really don't know, may have happened. And so I may no longer be the only registered lobbyist on this issue specifically, so I need to check on that. I created the Paradigm COC, which was designed to raise awareness of the disclosure issue, the truth embargo issue, by mirroring the doomsday clock, which midnight was a nuclear war, and my paradigm clock, midnight, is the disclosure event, the acknowledgement of the ET presence by the U.S. government. I then founded a political action committee called XPAC, Extraterrestrial Phenomena Political Action Committee, raised some monies and still exists and ready to receive lots more money when the time is right, to again put awareness into the Washington scene here. It was and it still is the only political action committee focused on this issue.
Let me stop you right there, because I want to give you a plug. For all those listening via theblackvault.com, you guys can surf while you're listening. Go to www.x-ppac.org. Again, that's x-ppac.org. And check out about the XPAC, because, Steve, you mentioned earlier that, yes, there are a lot of UFO organizations out there, but you stand out to me as you know, I consider myself a little bit of an outsider. I like to look in. I like to learn what I can from who I can. And you stand out to me because you do something that really no one else does. You mentioned you are one of, if not the only registered lobbyist for this particular topic. And that's why I wanted to invite you on, because my listeners obviously are interested in this topic. We deal with a lot of different issues here on the Black Vault Radio. The UFO issue is by far the most important, I think, that we deal with, mainly because there's so much behind it, and you are taking action, which not many people do. You've been very adamant in the past to tell me and many others, and now it may have changed by now, so correct me if I'm wrong, but you don't consider yourself a researcher or an investigator. You are this advocate, and that is your role. And I'm amazed by that, because you have made a difference. You've gotten awareness to this. Tell me a little bit how you then led into really getting Congress and the political players in this arena to pay attention, or at least how did you go around that?
Well, before I answer that, let me say this in response to what you just said. The key syllable in activism is ACT, A-C-T. You have to do something, and my support and allegiance is prioritized toward those who act, which is why, of course, I was attracted to you a long time ago, as you began early in the field. And you may recall, Paradigm Research Group gave $1,000 award to you a number of years back because you created the Black Vault website, which is an enormous amount of work and effort. It wasn't speculation. It wasn't theory. It was hard gathering of documents accumulated on that site, available to everybody. This is action. So in that sense, you were a very, I think, clear activist role. that's where my head is at. And I'll tell you about the relation to Washington, but let me complete just quickly for your listeners, complete the picture of the work of Pattern Research Group. After the XPAC was founded, I then ran for Congress as an independent in the Maryland election in 2002, and it was the most expensive congressional campaign in the country because it was a very heavily contested one between the Democrats and Republicans, and I was able to get enough signatures to get on the ballot, so it was just the three candidates, the Dem, Kristen Holland, the Republican, Connie Morell, and myself, in November. And so I got a number of debates and spoke about the ET issue. They were asked questions about it. It was all very civil, very appropriate, and I think it was a good marker. Then, following that, I founded the X Conference, which was the first real conference devoted really to the issue from the exopolitical or the political perspective, government perspective, and put it in Washington, D.C. during the 2004 presidential campaign.
Mm-hmm.
Followed it up with X Conference 2005, which also was quite a successful, again, in the Washington area. And I can announce on your show tonight that the next two X Conferences are now booked. The booking codes won't be up for another day or two for people to book rooms, but the X Conference 2007 is scheduled for the Hilton Gaithersburg, September 14 through 16, and X Conference 2008 is scheduled for the Hilton Gaithersburg outside of Washington on April 18 through 20. Both will be promoted simultaneously, and if all goes well, these conferences will be unprecedented in who comes, what they have to say.
Mm-hmm.
So put your people on. It's possible that by the time this show is aired, the booking codes will be up, and people will be able to book at least their rooms right away, which is absolutely critical. Book the rooms as soon as you can. Book the conference later, but you've got to get the rooms because they will fill out, and plus the hotel needs to see those bookings in order to work properly with me.
So what's the website for that, Steve? What's the website
right
for
now?
That? What's the website for that?
Oh, yeah. Well, the website will be, though it's not switched over yet,
okay.
x-conference.com, x-conference.com. Is the conference website. But all of these sites are portaled at the main portal for all of my sites, which are, there are five of them, at the main URL, and that is paradigmresearchgroup.org, paradigmresearchgroup.org. And the flagship site is the PRG site. I encourage people to go. It is huge and extremely filled with visceral, immediate confirmation of the validity of this issue without getting into the minutia of sightings and certain historical events, through quotes, bibliography, video links, and massive media library there, nearly, 1,300 mainstream news articles. It just very quickly, you start browsing through this, and it's inconceivable that anybody with a reasonable mind and some ability to add and subtract can't mm-hmm. quickly realize that this is an important issue. So that's essentially the essential of my work. Now, all of this, the conference, the candidacy, the websites, the political action committee, all the radio I've done, 400 or 500 shows. In fact, at one time I was like the third most frequent guest on Coast to Coast AM.
Mm-hmm.
That was a number of years ago. It all has one goal, and that is to influence the thinking and policy decisions of the political press in Washington, D.C., the public in general, and most importantly, the United States government, so they will reverse their policy, which as it stands now is a classic Washington speak phrase. It's called a non-denial denial. So that if you write any of the appropriate agencies, Air Force, DOD, NASA, and you ask, what's the situation on UFOs? Are they real? Are they not? What can you tell me? I want documents. The standard response in writing from some time has been, closely paraphrased, the United States government no longer investigates UFOs, and the phenomena that has been described does not pose a threat to national security. In other words, we don't care about them anymore, but whatever it is, we don't care about it, doesn't pose a threat to national security. And the reason is non-denial denial, and then this is a classic kind of double speak, is that if they were put out you know, thousands of written responses to these requests stating flatly there was no ET presence.
Mm-hmm.
It would be extremely tough on them when, in fact, they have to announce that there's an ET presence. And so they give a response that essentially doesn't deny it, but indicates clearly they're not going to give you any information, they're not going to tell you information, so don't bother to go further. It's reversing that policy and getting the government to do that. Or through other work, because there's exopolitical movements and disclosure movements developing in other countries, helping to assist other groups to get Canada to do it, or Japan to do it, or Communist China to do it, or UK, or France, or even Brazil or Mexico. Any one of these countries were to, as a government, formally announce that, yes, there is an ET presence, they know about it, throw 5 or 10 minutes of good quality gun camera footage from some of their chase planes, then the embargo would end.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it would quickly, domino effect. It would just cascade from country to country. And the U.S. would just be, how would you say, Johnny-come-lately to the game.
Right. Well, we just had Nick Redfern here on the Black Vault Radio last week. It was a great show, show number 24, in case you guys missed it for who's listening. But, Steve, he talked about 7,000 new pages of documents coming out of the U.K. Now, even though that's not an official, quote-unquote, authentication of the ET presence, does something like that really help, let's say, your mission in trying to get the world to understand this? I mean, my whole point is, does it really hinge on the government saying, yes, it's true, or...
Yes, it does. It does.
Okay.
Hey, something. In other words, does it really hinge... take the issue of war and peace. There's
mm-hmm.
plenty of people that don't want war. They want peace. They don't want to kill people. They want to negotiate. They want diplomacy. They want economic partnership. Guess who goes to war? Not the people, the government.
Mm-hmm.
So it matters big time what government does. The government, with a stroke of the pen on a bill or an executive action, can undo the work of hundreds of thousands of what we'll call workers in the light, all right, altruists. They slave away for years to try to improve a situation, and the government can undo that work in a second. And so it really matters what the government does. And to answer your question, though, before that, very important, absolutely. The U.K. has been dumping documents out for the last 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
Every few months, something else comes out. They just announced they're about to dump a bunch of sightings out, sighting reports onto the net, and they're doing that somewhat in conjunction, not conjunction, but somewhat concordant with... the fact that France just announced that they're putting 16,000 sighting cases that had been previously classified in their space agency on the internet, which is follows the Cometa report, quasi governmental report out of France in 2000.
Mm-hmm.
Brazil is putting cases out and working with a Brazilian UFO group. That Mexico has made overtures. These things are not only helpful to the research; they're more important than that. They are, in fact, a political signal from these countries, France, Britain, Mexico, Brazil, that they are tired of waiting for the U.S. to end this embargo. These countries know there's an ET presence. Now, when I say that, I don't mean that everybody in the French government knows about the ET presence.
Mm-hmm.
There are elements within the French government working in their intelligence and military community and probably some of the political community that know there's an ET presence, but they have remained officially silent on the issue. In deferring to the United States, the great power, the chief, architect of the success in the World War II, and obviously the only nation that could have defeated communism and ended the Cold War, they have deferred to us now for 60 years.
Right.
And of late, unfortunately, the United States has lost a tremendous amount of faith and prestige in the world.
Let me put you on hold, Steve. I hate to interrupt you. We've got to go to a break real quick. But I want you to continue that thought right after this on the Black Vault Radio. Stay tuned. And welcome back to the Black Vault Radio. Steve, I'm so sorry I had to cut you off before our break there, but as you mentioned, the U.S. is kind of losing faith here, and I cut you off right in that mid-sentence. Let me go ahead and let you continue that thought.
Yes, the U.S.'s position in the world has dramatically changed in the last 10 years. We're being viewed very differently by our allies and by all nations, and that has made it more difficult for some of these nations to stay in line, fall in line on the UFO issue, as well as other issues.
Mm-hmm.
And so they are putting pressure in various ways. For those who are paying attention, and that's my job. For those who aren't, I mean, it's not really particularly being covered in the press much. I mean, the dumping of the records by France and UK has been mentioned in some articles, but no big follow-up, no big inquiry by mainstream news as to why are they doing that and what's going on. But I'm following it, and I know exactly what's going on. So they are putting pressure on the U.S. They're basically saying, look, if you don't do this pretty soon, hold a press conference and tell the world's people, obviously including your own people, that there is an E.T. presence, and start providing some information about that and begin the process of global engagement with this issue. And we're going to do it. And I think the two most likely countries that might simply break ranks, and actually, to be fair, one of these countries, Communist China, it is not a question of breaking ranks with the U.S. I'm mm-hmm. sure that that's not it. The issue is they didn't want to do it. They've been a little bit reluctant to, as an ideologically defined country, a control country, what they call a control state. They're a little concerned, but I think they're getting close. And so either Communist China or France are the two most likely countries to suddenly hold a news conference and pop the cork on that bottle of champagne. And if they do, the historical legacy, the extraordinary historical legacy of starting the new world, and the world in which all of the world's people don't just speculate or intuitively think or believe that we have a company in this galaxy, but in fact we'll all know as a matter of public policy and fact that we have, that will begin, and that legacy will go to either France or China, or maybe mm-hmm. another country, and not the U.S., which may seem fitting, given that we are sacrificing our prestige through bad policies, through arrogance and hubris, and so forth.
Let me ask you, before we keep going, is why do you think that these countries are hinging their public outspokenness on UFOs? Why do you think that hinges on if the U.S. does it first? Why don't they just do it?
I was saying, yeah, if you think of the history now, you have to understand that the E.T. phenomena really explodes in 1947 with a number of sightings prior to that, particularly the Foo Fighters of World War II. There had been some sightings prior to that, but they virtually not covered, not known. It was just non-issue. And there's plenty of speculation why that happened. The first major world war, the development of atomic weapons, they're checking in because, you know, the kindergarten kids have all found the stash of machine guns, whatever you want to call it.
Mm-hmm.
But whatever, the issue explodes at that point. Now, we had just, you know, successfully defeated the Nazis and the Japanese, and the world was extremely grateful to us. We were also the greatest power in the world at that point. We had the atomic and soon the hydrogen bombs. The only other nation that had that was the Soviet Union, and, of course, they were pretty scared about them. And so we protected the world from the Soviet menace, supposedly, for all the coming years, spent trillions of dollars defending them. And so is it hardly surprise you that if the U.S. wanted France or an England or Germany or a Belgium to not speak to this issue, to allow us to call the shots, that they would what, deny us?
Mm-hmm.
No. And in fact is that was fully expected right up through the end of the Cold War, because until the Soviet Union finally finally the Soviet Empire was over and the Cold War was over, at any time we could have a nuclear war. And they were all going to, and everybody knew, particularly in Europe, Australia, Canada, that the Soviets just weren't going to nuke the United States. They were going to nuke all of Western Europe, Canada, and any other of our allies. And so they weren't going to cross us on this. Now, after the Cold War ended, 91, late 91, things definitely changed, and two big things changed. One is that the concern on many, many of the thousands of people that are inside government civilian agencies or military service or intelligence agencies who had intersected this issue, either as a part of their job or simply because they were in the right place at the right time, didn't feel that they had to keep quiet, that they felt that it was probably okay or whatever, that for them to come forward, and they started. And we've been building up scores of witnesses of this type who, in one way or another, put themselves on record, verbally, letters, sometimes books. So that's been going on, but
simultaneously, right after we come out back from this break, Steve, I'm sorry, I've got to put you on hold one more time. We're at the bottom of the hour already, and you're listening to the Black Vault Radio. Stay tuned. There's much more coming up with Mr. Stephen Bassett.
You're listening to BVRN, the Black Vault Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Black Vault Radio. I am your host, John Greenwald Jr., and we are talking to Mr. Stephen Bassett about the politics of UFO disclosure. And Steve, before the break, I unfortunately have these breaks. I always have to rudely interrupt you. I apologize for that. But if you could keep going, you were talking a little bit about the Cold War and the implications behind disclosure and kind of why is it hinging on if the United States does it first or not?
Right. So as I pointed out, the Cold War's end in late 91... really made it possible for a lot of people who had intersected this issue to start talking, and they have been coming forward ever since. And now they're in the scores, many scores of these individuals, and they're pretty sharp people, high-ranking people. And we call them witnesses, I guess. I don't like the word whistleblower, prefer witness. And their testimony just confirms what the researchers had already proven. So that's obviously putting pressure on the truth embargo. But the other effect of the end of the Cold War was, okay, you know, let's face it, we live in a world that is pretty much a what-have-you-done-for-me-lately world. And, well, once the Cold War was over, we did that. People sort of gave us a grace period, honeymoon period. And then, it didn't take too long, and it's pretty, well, we appreciate you defeated Germany and Japan and Communist China, but what have you done for us lately? So it's now 16 years since the Cold War finally ended. And as time has passed, the willingness to, quote, defer to the U.S. on an issue of this magnitude is ebbed. Because, time moves on, time marches on. But it was accelerated by the fact that the U.S. has made some serious policy blunders since 91. It's had some good moments and some bad ones, but overall it's been seriously flawed in policy. And we really are having a problem with our allies. So the willingness to defer to the U.S. is dropping. And so it's only a matter of time before one of these nations decides to break ranks with us. But the reason was all we did for Western Europe and our allies and so forth with World War II, and I think that's fine. You know, I understand that. I'm not beating them over the head over that. Just as I don't beat the government over the head for making the decision to create an embargo on this and to hold it as a national security asset and look into it and find out what was going on and maybe get ET technology. Maybe they did from crash vehicles before going to the public. I appreciate that. And that's why I don't like the phrase cover-up. I don't like UFO, the acronym at all. That the era of UFO is over. It ended in 91. They'd proven that UFOs were ETs long before that. And I don't like cover-up because cover-up implies a fundamental illegality to the government's policy, initially, certainly. And I don't think it was illegal. I prefer truth embargo, right? So you have a truth embargo, and you have witnesses now coming forward to the information that is being embargoed. And the decision now is to end the embargo because the thing has been pushed way too long. It's overstayed its welcome. And given the situations that we now face globally, and given the government policy now is simply anachronistic, the truth embargo has now almost become an abomination given the magnitude of the issue and what we're facing. And it now... It insults the collective intelligence of the human race. So I think when you reach that point where you have an abomination and a collectively insulting issue, then you need to end it.
So here's the question of the hour then. Will this truth embargo be lifted? And if you do believe it will, what's a timetable? What do you think in your best guess would be a timetable for that?
Well, this is speculation, of course. I'm not... I have no psychic powers. In fact, I've already pretty much confirmed that I suffer from a terrible affliction. It's called paranormal dysfunction, and I feel bad about it. But I have a left brain, but apparently I have no right brain. So there you go. I mean, I had half a brain. And it's not even behind my back. It's not there, right? So just given my analytical skills, let me give you what I think has been the time frame on this. I believe the first... real opportunity after the embargo was in place. I mean, in the early days, I think the whole thing could have blown out at any time because the government didn't have a structured national security apparatus in place to help maintain the embargo. But that was put together pretty quickly. But after that was in place and the embargo was fully underway, the first real opportunity, I think, was going to be in 1993. I think the government was planning to end the embargo under the second George H.W. Bush presidency. And there was some movement toward that. There was some loosening of the package and what have you. And they were ready to go and shocked, truly shocked, when he lost that election to William Clinton. They just did not think they were going to lose that election. And because Clinton was so ill thought of by the military and the intelligence community, though I think they warmed up to him, you know, toward the end of his two terms. But they hated him initially, and he was the last guy on earth that they wanted to get the legacy of the UFO disclosure. So they just shut it all down and went after him big time. I will contend publicly with confidence that a significant reason for the incredible spectrum of attacks on the Clinton administration was actually driven by the fact that he posed a threat to the embargo. And that's an interesting story we can go into, but he did pose a threat to the embargo, and they were afraid he might do it. So I think they tried to get him out of there in the 4 years, and they thought they were going to bring him down in four years. And they threw everything at him, including the kitchen sink. But he's one of the great politicians of the 20th century, and he did not go down. He won. Then they impeached him. I mean, they were serious. So that was the first opportunity, was 93. I think there was a possibility toward the end of the Clinton administration because he was now in a, you know, he'd gone through the fire, they'd thrown everything at him, and he had a potential for a legacy there. But the Monica Lewinsky thing, when that blew out, his political capital was gone. So that was the end of that. The next administration, the next opportunity, it's hard to say. I don't think there was any plans in the first Bush administration. I believe there were a lot of other agendas that were in play, and not that one, certainly not the first term. And so the next opportunity comes now, and it's pretty significant. There are two things happening simultaneously which could bring disclosure out very fast. One is the Democrats, I believe, are planning to do it. I'm reading the tea leaves there, and I think they plan on doing disclosure in the early months of the next administration, which they assume will be Democratic. We can get into that in detail if you want. So,
well, I'm curious, and I kind of have the same question for the Clinton administration, but unfortunately I only have the hour show, and we could probably talk for hours and hours on this. But let me now then ask you about this administration. What is the supposed next administration, Democratic, which people are believing is going to be true. What evidence suggests that in the first couple months, why do you say that? What's the connection?
I can give you a few things. I can't give it all to you. This is not enough time. It's very complex stuff, deep. But first of all, you have to look at John Podesta. John Podesta is one of the key markers here. Podesta was a senior aide to Clinton, 3, 4, 5, and part of 96. And it was during that period that Lawrence Rockefeller, the billionaire, out-of-the-box thinker in the Rockefeller family, approached the administration with the intent of getting Clinton to end the embargo. And he worked with through the Office of Science and Technology Policy. John Gibbons was the head of it. He was doing it all according to the book. Nothing fancy. He was trying to establish a basis for a report and a letter to the president. He's going to meet with the president formally. There was a book done parallel to that. There were reports put together. There were meetings that were held. It's called the Rockefeller Initiative. Went on for 3 years. Clinton watched this from the White House. So did his wife, and of course, so did John Podesta. John Podesta was famous for being the X-Files guy. Loved the X-Files. Had all the paraphernalia in his office, and so he watched all of that too. We know that Clinton then asked Webster Hubble to look into the UFO issue. Justice make some queries, and Hubble did. He made some queries there as well as NORAD and elsewhere. He then come under indictment. They started indicting him for everything. Eventually went to jail. We also know that Clinton told Podesta to try to revise the records classification scheme so that millions of documents could be gotten out, because the government is just obsessed with classifying everything and keeping it forever. It cost a fortune. Without mentioning UFOs, Podesta did that. So he then went on to become the chief of staff to Clinton in the second term, deputy chief of staff and then chief of staff through the end of the term. He is a major figure behind the scenes in the Democratic Party. Make no mistake about that. In October of 2002, John Podesta appeared at the National Press Club to introduce the new Coalition of Freedom of Information, which had been created by the Sci-Fi Channel as a lobbying group, right, in Washington, D.C. Mm-hmm. This is why I may not be the only lobbyist now, but I don't know if any of them actually registered under this issue, but they clearly created this group. And Podesta came in as the spokesman. His brother's PR firm, Podesta Mattoon, was hired as the PR firm for CFI, and then they hired a K Street law firm to handle the legal stuff. Podesta came in, said that that he had unleashed a lot of records when he was with Clinton, and that the UFO issue needs to be brought out, the documents need to be brought forward, the people have a right to know. That he came out of the closet on the issue at the National Press Club at a press conference in October of 2002. He then repeated that in October of 2003 when they held another press conference about what they had done and the fact they were suing NASA over records, and said basically the same things in front of even more press and cameras in October of 2003. In the meantime, he formed the first new major think tank called the Center of American Progress. Did all of that simultaneously with coming out of the closet on the UFO issue, announced the formation of that 8 days after the second press conference in 2003. And, of course, we've since also learned that the major backer of the coalition, Center for American Progress, is George Soros, the $7.9 billionaire whose major issue globally is open, transparent government. I believe that Podesta made those moves in October 2002, 2003, because they were certain they were going to win the election in 2004. And he was anticipating and positioning for the disclosure move by the Democrats in the that period of 2005.
Is Podesta still talking about this issue?
No, because they lost that election.
But we're coming up to a new one, and we're at a couple minutes till the break, but we're coming up to a new election, and you think that maybe, is there this revised?
When Bush wins the election, John Podesta stands down, mm-hmm. all right? And so Bush goes through a term, and I mean Bush starts the second term, and of course all hell is breaking loose. And then as we move towards the next term, somebody else enters the game, and some other things develop, which make me, which is part of the reason why I very much think that the Democrats are planning for disclosure in 2009 under what they hope will be a Democratic president. And if I don't know if we have enough time, if possible, maybe we can come back to the break, and I'll tell you who that other person is that entered to come out of the closet on this issue.
Well, we still have a couple minutes, but who is the person?
Bill Richardson, the current governor of New Mexico, one of the Democratic presidential candidates, and a formidable candidate. He's considered, a significant person.
Mm-hmm.
Though everybody knows he's running for vice president and very likely will be the next vice president of the United States. He came out of the closet when he wrote, never to be taken back, significant phrases into the foreword to a book called The Roswell Digg Diaries. And in that foreword, he basically says that the government's position that Roswell was simply a mogul balloon is in fact not proven yet, that we don't really have the facts yet, and we need to get documents out and investigate it. That's an extraordinary maneuver by a man who knew he was going to run for the presidency of the country as a Democrat. I mean, I can't even begin to tell you how unusual that is. I mean, mm-hmm. the world's so crazy that amazing things can happen. People don't even notice them.
I mean, you got a point. So now connect me to the first few months. Do you think it's just a political issue with the Democrats that want to lift the embargo on this topic? Is that what?
Well, see, Podesta is now a major strategist for the Democratic Party. He's never been challenged on his UFO position about bringing those documents, never been attacked by the Republicans even. Richardson is now out of the closet. He has not been attacked by the Republicans on this issue, nor has he been attacked by his Democratic foes. And you know how it's like. They go after you if you get an expensive haircut, for crying out loud.
That's true.
And yet they're leaving them completely alone. That's not possible unless there's something going on. I believe the reason Podesta and Richardson have been untouched, even though they have actually broached this issue in front of cameras or in a book, written statement, it can't be taken back, is because there are plenty of people in the Republican hierarchy that know that ETs are here, and they know that disclosure is imminent, and if they go after these people on that issue, they're going to look like damn fools.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're not being touched because the issue is in play, and both the Democrats and the Republicans know it. And so the reason Richardson came out, the reason he has not taken that back, is because the Dems have committed to disclosure, and he's positioning himself ahead of time. They've put out that trial balloon. They've gotten no flack about it. And I'm looking for other indicators of people positioning themselves, and those are also out there.
Mm-hmm. How convinced are you of this, Steve?
Well, convinced in that it makes sense strategically.
Mm-hmm.
It's the only logical explanation, but let me say this. Let's not forget that the story of the last half of the 20th century, right up until the present, has been that every time any nation or group of people are about to make some progress in some important area, somebody just blows something up. And we all go back five spaces and start again. This is the history of the last 60 years. We've got to stop doing that, but we keep doing it every time. You've got a peace program underway. You've got a treaty about to be signed. You've got a major issue. Somebody blows something up, and everybody goes, oh, well, you have to stop. So who knows? I mean, one of the reasons that I have to continue my work and continue to recruit more people and support the other groups is we must keep the pressure on, even if I'm right,
mm-hmm.
so that Democrats don't lose their nerve in the spring of 2009 or somebody blows something up in February of 2009, and they all go, oh, boy, well, we can't do it now. Somebody blew something up. We've got to hold their feet to the fire and make them go through with this regardless of the world events, certainly, of that time period.
Needless.
So is it going to happen? No, I can't guarantee it.
Mm-hmm.
But is there a case for it? You betcha.
Needless to say, if the Republicans win office, would it still happen?
Interesting. Very interesting. I think if the Republicans Well, if the Republicans win office, that is a very different and complex dynamic. I believe that the candidates that are vying for the position there are a number there that I think, particularly McCain, could be supportive of doing this.
Mm-hmm.
I think that the Democrats. I don't think the Democrats will want to risk trying to wait 4 or 8 years to get that legacy, you know, to capture that legacy, because I don't think we've got that much time. The embargo is, by and large, hanging by a thread anyway. Remember, other nations could end it tomorrow.
Right.
And so my guess is the Democrats, even if they don't win the presidency, will probably approach the Republicans and say, look, we need to get this done, and we'll cooperate. But share the legacy. Don't get up there and act like you're the only ones that wanted to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And you're the only ones that have the truth. Let's share a little bit.
Well, it'll be really very interesting if they want to play nice in the sandbox together, especially on a UFO issue like this, you know, when they can't really cooperate in many other world pressing issues. But I guess only time will tell, Steve. I've got to go to a break. This has been an unbelievable hour. Unfortunately, we just have a couple minutes left after this short commercial break. If you're listening via theblackvault.com, stay tuned, sir, for some very cool music coming your way right here on the Black Vault Radio. Stay tuned. There's a couple more minutes here with Steve Bassett, so make sure you stay tuned right here to BVRN. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Black Vault Radio. We've been talking to Steve Bassett, a political activist for the lifting of the truth embargo over the UFO topic. Steve has done some amazing things. He's turned many heads in the last many years, actually, that he's been in this business, and doing extraordinary things. And he's one of the few that is really getting into that political arena, trying to make a difference. So I commend Mr. Stephen Bassett for that, and thank you for coming onto the show and you know, giving your ideas and giving your input, because not many people know. And we talked before the break a lot about if the Democratic Party wins the seat, what's going to happen, and then if it's the Republicans that win, it's a much different story. And if you want to wrap up that thought, and then I've got to wrap it up with you as well.
It's not so much different as it's more complex.
Mm-hmm.
I think if the Democrats, I think have got it in the mind to do this, and if they lose the election, they'll be upset. But I think they may see that they need to go forward anyway. And of course, if they could put a lot of pressure on the current Republican administration, because they could act unilaterally. So I'm still optimistic that disclosure will take place no later than the spring of 2009. But it could also take place immediately, and that's the other half of what I was talking about. Mm-hmm. And that is simply that we have now an administration in serious, deep, deep trouble, facing a horde of problems. It's only just begun. There are many hearings that are going to be held. There are going to be many more resignations. Wolfowitz recently resigned. Of course, the Secretary of Defense had resigned. I expect others very soon. This administration is in tremendous trouble, and it has an extremely low approval rating. Therefore, it has the possibility of using disclosure to change the subject is there. I mean, anytime they want to, they could go ahead and do it. I can assure you that in the post-disclosure world, in those months and even years afterwards, nobody's going to really care that much about the downsides or the bad policies, any policy decisions of this administration, certainly in the second term. They're just not going to care. So they have a chance to reverse their legacy almost overnight, change mm-hmm. the subject overnight. And I'm wondering if somebody in there might do it. So for that reason, don't be surprised if George Bush doesn't become the disclosure president. So that's kind of where things are right now. I'm going to continue to keep the pressure on and develop the issue and as much as possible. Again, my target is the U.S. Congress, the executive, and of course the political press here in Washington,
mm-hmm.
which is why we're holding the next X-Conference 2007. Near Washington at the Gaithersburg Hilton, September 14 through 16, and we've also booked for 2008 at the Hilton in Gaithersburg, April 18 through 20. Within a day or two, the initial information will be up on the site at x-conference.com or through the portal at paradigmresearchgroup.org, showing where people can call to at least book their rooms, which
Great.
They need to.
We're
getting a rate of $89 a night, double and single, and we will have that rate for about 3 days before the conference and 3 days after for those who want to vacation in Washington in September and April are ideal months to visit Washington.
And I would urge everybody to check this out. Again, www.paradigmresearchgroup.org or x-conference. Did you say .com or .org on that? X-conference. I'm sorry?
x-conference.com.
.com. Thank you very much. Check it all out. It is a extremely high caliber conference. It's one very worthwhile for everybody to attend. I've had the honor to not only attend, but also lecture at. Steve, thank you so much for coming on to the Black Vault Radio and telling us a little bit about your story and what you're currently doing. We could talk hours together on the air. So thank you for that. And unfortunately, we are at the end of the show already. So I appreciate that. Good luck to you. And please give me a call anytime. We'll get you back on here anytime you want.
Love to do that.
Great. Thank you, Steve, and thank you all for listening to the Black Vault Radio right here on BVRN. We'll see you next time.